ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on this Thursday morning. A lot of stuff to do. A lot of Texan stuff.
The first 3 hours and 4 minutes. For the next 3 hours and 4 minutes.
He usually keeps us here, so he doesn't have to do as much. But that's just Dell being Dell. Joe Espada gets the loss yesterday. Joe Espada takes the L. I thought, terrible decision making. Bottom of the sixth, after you just given up. Okay, Hunter pitched well, gives up the two-run bomb in the sixth inning. Jesus Sanchez, of all people, former Astro.
Of all people, Mr. Smiles.
Yeah. He's smiling around the bases, running around the bases, ties the game at three.
And it's not intentional. He's not trying to show you up. He just always smiles.
No, that's what, yeah. No, he's a smiley guy. It's kind of weird,
not
actually.
Not great at catching
he
fly balls.
He smiles in situations he shouldn't be
smiling. He's not really a fly ball catcher so much.
No,
he's
not doesn't. As an Astro. He doesn't do that too well.
He wasn't catching fly balls great as an Astro, but he will smile his ass off.
Yeah. So, Hunter Brown, pissed off, comes off the mound. First thing, Christian Walker, base hit up the middle. Lamont Wade Jr. had himself a nice game yesterday. He crushed one, double. Second and third, nobody out. Yiner at the plate. Yiner's been hot. Yiner fouls out to first base. So, the most critical at-bat of the game is coming up, and who's up? Nick Allen. He squares the bunt on the first pitch and gets hit in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Joe should have argued he pulled it back, so he did get hit in the hand, so he should have been on first base. I didn't see that he argued. I didn't. You know, all I saw was that he was taking care of Nick Allen. Second and third, one out, sixth inning of a tie game. After Allen had already made an error on a chopper to third base that he kind of, and he's at the plate in a critical situation with Isak Paredes sitting on the bench. Now you say, well, it's Isak's day off.
So?
Oh, really? Because Isak came in for him and pinch hit for him in the ninth inning with nobody on.
Yeah.
If you're going to pinch hit for Nick Allen, pinch hit for him with second and third and one out.
In a relatively low-scoring game.
In a tie game, 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was pissed. I'm just going, what are you doing?
You know, it's not necessarily unusual to do that, to stick with it and save your pinch hitters for the eighth and ninth. But I'm with you. You've got a defensive option. It's a defensive option. It's a better hitter. It gives you the best chance, and you only have one out. You have one out and two in scoring position.
I wholeheartedly believe. I mean, and AJ used to do this too. He'd bring in the eighth inning, if it was their 3, 4, 5 hitters coming up in the eighth, why are you saving your best, your closer for the ninth when he's going to face 7, 8, 9?
Right.
But throw your best guy. It's the sixth inning. I understand that it's still relative. It's not early in the game. You're late in the game now, and it's a tie game, and you got second and third and one out. Put a better hitter at the plate. That was where the game was won or lost. Not the eighth inning or ninth inning with one out and nobody on. That's when you pinch hit for Nick Allen,
right,
instead of in a critical situation. That just pisses me off.
But
that
was the move. There was nothing else that bothered you about Espada yesterday, was there? I mean, the bullpen's the bullpen.
The bullpen is the bullpen. I mean, you can't. I got a call from a buddy who's like, why can't you throw Hader 2 innings there? And I'm like, well, since he's come off the IL, they said no 2 innings. So I can, okay. But when you're the home team,
who the hell is your buddy? Is it Bagwell?
No, no.
You got somebody who knows stuff.
Yeah. Well, no. I told him you can't throw him two innings.
Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. I told him. He's like, why can't you throw him? I'm like, you can't ruin his arm just for this game. You got to throw, Okert or whatever.
Yeah, have the discipline.
Whatever.
Right.
Throw Sousa, throw Okert, throw, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. So Sousa came in, gave up the homer to Ernie Clement. And then Jordan doubles to right to get Pena home, but he doesn't slide. I guess that was Jimenez just deking him out, thinking the ball wasn't coming.
Right.
And Jordan, I kind of missed the base, I guess. His left foot looked like it was there before the ball got there. It looked like it was, I guess he was short of the base, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I guess.
I guess.
But neither here nor there. You lost that game in the sixth inning. And you can't, I mean, if you're, well, it's his day off. So, well, you played him anyway. You pinch hit for Nick
Gallen. Wait a minute. You lost it in the sixth. You still have three more innings. You still have a chance.
Well, you had no opportunity, but there was.
I know, but you
had no rallies at all. You had zero. You had zero. You did nothing.
I know. Nothing. Well, in hindsight, but you still have to generate something.
I honestly believe you could. The game situation doesn't have to be in the eighth or ninth inning. The game situation could be in the third inning. First of all, you loaded the bases in the first inning and didn't score a run again. I mean, goodness, with one out, again, you did this. That's like four straight games that you had at least two runners on in the first inning and didn't score a run. The game can be won and lost early or late. And you got to take advantage. This team is unbelievable, how they're not taking advantage of situations.
Yeah,
and it's scoring.
It's been a relative – it's one of the things that they've actually – excelled in until just really recently, like their losses. It's been a problem with, well, one of their wins, and that their losses, it's been a problem. But they still haven't won. They still have a 1.5 game lead. You're still minus 25 in run differential, but you've really cut it down in terms of being a division leader, and you're at minus 25. I think run differential.
Just last week, you were 44. It
was actually a better outing from Hunter Brown than the box score looks.
Yeah.
Six innings, three runs. You know, it's just barely a quality start. He gave up the two-run homer. It's not to who you want to give it up to. Before that, he got his strikeout totals back up. His stuff looked a little better, I thought. More swing and miss, but he's still not quite there. He's still not quite there in terms of the final result. But I thought yesterday, from a process standpoint, that was pretty close to what you're going to want. You just have to avoid that, obviously, that two-run home run.
Yeah.
But you were on the track, I think, with Hunter Brown, which is what you have to be. It's funny. Dana Brown came out yesterday on his radio show and said, well, I mean, we got Wisniewski and Renell Blanco back. So it's kind of like we made a deal. Those are kind of like trade deadline deals. I wish you wouldn't. Like, you want to talk about not being self-aware. He's not wrong in the sense that they weren't on the roster. Like, you didn't have them. That's not wrong. It's just he's just not self-aware enough that's not the answer you give. You just shouldn't say that.
Well, I think his hands were tied. His hands were probably.
Well, obviously, he had one of his trades he tried to make was shut down.
Yeah. Well, that one for sure. But also, financially, he was.
Yeah.
I'm not with a lame duck, and I don't think he's coming back with a lame duck.
No.
It's really, really difficult to trust that he's got. And he said, and you can't accuse him of it because. He did say, and he's like, hey, listen, I still got the long-term health of the organization in mind. And you got to believe him. You do. But, you also got to say, thank God he didn't give up any decent young talent. They got a couple of guys in the minor leagues that there was a possibility that other teams wanted, but he didn't get rid of them.
Not for this year's team. Not unless you're getting a long-term club control guy, or at least a relatively long-term club control guy that is going to fit into your at least the at least outside of your core players. And I don't know that that was, you know, you do have to operate with an understanding of there's a separate Dana issue where I don't think he's built the minors to the level he should have by this stretch. He had a really ineffective off season this year. I also understand that the owner puts constraints on him. We know it's been confirmed by multiple people in Minnesota that a deal was blocked for another left-handed bat. Who was it over there from? With the Twins.
It's not only he did it. Jim's been admitting it. Jim Crane has admitted it. Jim Crane.
Oh, I didn't see Jim admitted it. But
no, he's well.
Yeah,
he is behind the scenes. You know, he is, and I think he's taking credit for it. He's like, no, we ain't doing that.
We ain't moving. He may have been right moving Arrigetti instead of Abreu. Although I might have, you know, I still think it was debatable about left-handed bat versus a starting pitcher. I'm not sure pitcher isn't my priority. Like your outfield, you didn't get substantially better with Varsho in the outfield. At least I don't think so. Maybe you did. We'll find out. But I do know this. Jim Crane
did pick up two starters in Blanco and was next.
Yeah, at the deadline. Yeah, at the trade. They're kind of like trade. They're kind of like trade deadline pickups. You know, he has had to answer. Here's why I feel bad for Dana. I don't think Dana's a bad dude. I don't know if Dana is incompetent. I don't think he's an incompetent GM. I do think there has been some bad luck with injuries. I don't think he's done his job to the extent like this is an execution and delivery position. And it's not unusual for a GM like Dana Brown, after what we've seen, which is a decline and it has not been a rebuild. Those guys are just gone. It's not, you know, it doesn't mean that Dana hasn't been faced with tasks like, look, he has a meddling owner. We can position it any way we want. Jim Crane is a meddling owner. We saw it previously with James Click and the way Jim was involved with contract deals. He made a deal. I was told by a very good source he made the deal. And it's his team. So if he wants to give the yes to Lance McCullers, say, okay, fine, let's just do the Lance McCullers. Fine, Lance, we'll do the deal with you. If he wants to do that, he can do that. But he's a little bit of a meddler, and he also is very intent on making sure that everything fits his business model. And so there are certain constraints that come with any GM. It'll be the case for the next GM as well. I would have to think. I don't think Jim's going away from this. But also, I do feel bad for Dana, like the injury stuff where guys weren't coming back and he had to come on. You know, he had to answer questions each week about Kyle Tucker and about Yordan and about these guys who are never making it back on their time frame. There was nothing Dana could do about it. But Dana looks, because Dana's the mouthpiece for it, you know, it comes off looking bad, at least subconsciously, for is Dana Brown here telling us lies again. It's like, nah, I don't know if that's really on him.
You know, I don't know, you know, the meddling owner thing. There are very few situations where, like, Paul Allen is never around, or the Dodgers who have all different owners and he has, you know, complete autonomy. When it's talking about signing a guy to a $100 million contract, $200 million contract, every owner in baseball practically is going to have a say. It's going to say, you know, yeah, we'll do that or we won't do that.
He's making GM moves.
Well, here's the other thing too, though. I think he trusted Luno a lot more than he trusts everybody since then.
Oh yeah, I think that's accurate.
I don't think there's any question. So, you know, he knew that what Luno was doing and what Luno put together, it was exactly, and I'll bet he was in on a lot of that anyway, but he trusted what Luno said and the way that they had to go about it. It was a completely different situation where you had to put together a minor league team and you started from scratch at the major league team as well. So it was a totally different situation. This now, where they didn't start signing until Feldman came along. Remember that was their first, they signed him for $30 million. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's your first big signing, like back in 2014 or whatever that was. And it was Feldman. It was like, okay, the Cubs starter. I was like, that's the first guy that you're going to give money to. And that was the first guy. And then they knew what they were doing and put together a great organization. But, you know, they didn't have these you know, we got Jeremy Pena coming up. We've got all of these multi-million-dollar, $100 million contracts that Kyle Tucker and all of these guys. That wasn't the situation then. So Jim Crane probably wasn't nearly as involved. But when you're talking about those big contracts for Kyle Tucker, of course the owner's going to have.
Yeah, I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about jumping in saying, no, we're not doing this deal. We're not doing every once in a while. But he's making moves like he really knows baseball, like he's a GM. Like, he steps in on GM stuff more than just, what's the deal? How much? No, we're not doing that because we're approaching this number with our taxes. Jim does a little bit more than just the standard owner, I think. He's in, you know, he's a baseball guy.
I think you'd be surprised. I'm not talking Minnesota or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe so, but he's doing deals with Lance McCullers. He's doing deals. He was involved. He had no GM for a while. And you don't think he was involved with Reggie Jackson and Jeff Bagwell? You don't think Jim was right there in the mix? Yeah. I was told he was in the mix with all that stuff.
Well, absolutely.
That's a little different than most owners. I don't think most owners are day-to-day with all the baseball comings and goings of free agents and players around the league. I think Jim has proven that he jumps in, nope, we're not doing this. No, we're doing this. I think it's a little tougher for a GM. I think most GMs have a little bit more with Jim.
I would argue that a lot of GMs have to go and get everything approved, except in certain situations.
Yeah, but you're allowed to be a GM. I think when it comes to financial considerations, yes. When it comes to players, I think GMs get to be GMs in every sport. And then there are some owners, you know, like the Cowboys were with Jerry. Eventually just got to a point where, look, I can do this. I don't need your help. Me and Steven can do this.
Yeah. Well, and
they just, and they,
I mean, Jeremy Branham put out a video where he's like, he's Jerry Jones. I'm like, no, he's not. The GM does all of the legwork. Jerry's doing a lot of the legwork. He's not Jerry Jones. He's not Jerry. And oh, by the way, he's won a hell of a lot more than Jerry Jones has. In the last 25 to 30 years.
Yeah. Jerry's won.
Yeah, Jerry won at the first four
it's
years.
It's been a while.
But had been for the first 4 years. It's the last 30 have not been. The last 30 have not. He has not.
But I think Jim Crane, without question, deserves some of the blame for if you're worried about what's going on with the Astros. Jim Crane is very, very involved.
And if you're involved, then you have to take the blame. It's not like we're not spending money. They're a top 10 money spending team, but we're doing it within the constraints of that cap. We're doing it within the constraints of the cap. And so that puts – it's not like the Dodgers where we're just going to go get Scuba. We're going to go get everybody.
He's running this like a business.
Yeah,
he's running it like a business. And I don't think you can always run it like a business in sports, but you at least know what you're dealing with. And he has not made – I mean, I'm just being completely fair and honest,
obviously, he's done a pretty good job running like a business with 10 straight years of playoffs.
I'm not calling him a dastardly fella here. I'm just saying the way he runs it – it leaves a lot less room for failure. It becomes much, much tougher to be successful. You have much smaller margin for error the way Jim Crane is running his team now in Major League Baseball. And that's the way Major League Baseball is run now. You have to, if you're not great in your minors and in your development, there's a lot smaller margin for error. And the Astros are experiencing that right now. But, you know, also the decisions he has made, plenty of them have come out on the positive side in terms of the players the Astros have played better with the Astros than they have other organizations. That's just the truth. Rarely play better or even as well with their other team. Rarely.
All right, we got a break. We're up against it here. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. If you're someone you care about, you're up early. I don't know what your job is, okay? Maybe you got a job that you like, but your kid, your nephew, your niece, your spouse, they're not happy in their job. You feel bad for them. Why don't you tell them about the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston? Here's the deal: it could take 3 to 5 years to work on the electrical grid. There's a lot of stuff to learn, but you get paid as you learn, paid on the job training, classroom learning. You build a craft. You learn safety. You learn how to run the electric, maintain, operate, build the electrical grid. They've been doing this for over 125 years. They've got nearly 5,000 members. IBEW66.com wants to talk to you, wants you to see if you're the right person for this high wages, full family insurance, retirement planning, all of these things that you're looking at that you don't have now, you can get it. IBEW66.com, IBEW66.com, powering careers, powering the future.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bases loaded in the first, one out, no runs. Second and third in the sixth, nobody out, no runs. Still pissed off. All right, the Texans. CJ was on... What was that, NFL Network he was on? Yesterday, he sat down with, who was that, Del? Who is he with?
Jane Slater?
Was it Slater?
Who'd they bring to
Kurt Warner and Jane Slater.
Yeah. Is Kurt Warner with the NFL Network?
Yes.
He is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Kurt Warner and Jane Slater sat down. They talked a lot about his faith. It was very, very interesting. Jane did. Jane was asking him about, you know, the team and how close it is and how much faith plays a role with the Texans, and it's big. It's huge. So that was nice. That's good conversation. A lot of places will stay away from that, but I like that. The NFL Network and Jane Slater just was like, no. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what you guys are doing, and that's great. They also did. Now, I mean, it's so hard to talk to CJ right now and not talk about New England, not talk about that game, not talk about what he did and what he did wrong and how he, you know what, he cost his team. It was, and that's the last taste of, and I think that's why you went over the quarterbacks. Yes, Mike Sando's quarterbacks, he's what, 20th?
Yeah, he's 20th. Mike's going to join us tomorrow, as a matter of fact, to talk about it. But he was 20th on the list, and that's not Mike's list. That's a list of 50 coaches, former head coaches, former GMs, GMs, offense coordinators, and defense coordinators. That's their list.
That's and that's what the league thinks of him now.
They 20th. Voted for every quarterback.
It's opposed to a couple of years ago where he would have been a top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he actually moved down a tier this year.
He's moved down a tier in 2 years in a row now, from tier one to tier two to tier three.
Yeah.
He was actually a tier one after 2023.
Yeah, that might have been a little premature.
Well, CJ had himself in tier one too. Remember when he said he gave the list out, and apparently the guys in the NFL agreed with him.
Yeah. Well, he was third on the list, on the top five quarterbacks in the league. Slow down.
Well, you mean the one that he did?
The one that he did.
Oh, okay.
After the season, yeah. But they did ask, and you got to. I mean, because it's obviously the most important question of the offseason is, what the hell happened? And here he is talking about New England.
I just think system things, you know, working, you know, with the O-line on protections, pocket movement, throwing on the run was a big one for that game. So those are all things I attacked in the offseason and, you know, got to go back to L.A. with my trainers and really, you know, go hard on it. And I really didn't take a break. So right after the game, I probably took like a day off, and I flew home and then came and got right back to work.
Yeah, we didn't see him this offseason. He was busy. I think he handled the offseason really well. He says he didn't take time off. He got right back to work.
Mm-hmm.
I bet, you know, obviously when he played the way that he did, he looked back on that game and said, this is, you know what, this is not good enough. This is terrible, actually. There was the other question of, and I think this is probably, you know, leads to the interceptions. They also asked him about being aggressive and, you know, when to be aggressive and then when not to just take what they give you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And here is what CJ had to say on being aggressive or taking what they give you.
It was tough for me at first. You know, I come from a background. Since I was a kid, my coaches always told me, you can make every throw on the field. Don't ever doubt yourself. We're rocking with you no matter what. So, you know, things kind of change as you get older. You got to mature and realize you don't always got to be Superman, but make the other guys around you Superman. And, you know, that's something that I'm still learning.
And I'm grateful that I have both abilities, and I'm learning how to do both. And I'm just, you know, trying to get better at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way he has to approach it, is you don't want him losing the confidence. You want him to – look, I think there's a lot of people who question whether or not he has the ability to be Superman after the last couple of years, and especially with recency bias. But you want him to have that confidence. I have seen him. It's been a while. But I have seen CJ win games late in games in the fourth quarter. You and I both seen it. America has seen it. At least the city of Houston has seen it. Those games were not nationally televised a lot of times. But so he's done it before. But the main thing is he acknowledges, hey, I don't have to be Superman. I can let other people, I can help other people be Superman. Because I think that's what the offense is going to be this year. I think it's clearly going to be. And I heard some really good stuff on Keelan Rutledge. Holy crap.
Yeah.
They love him behind the scenes. Like, there's no doubt he'll be the starting center.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. You can. I don't care if he's running second team. That guy's locked in as a one. Mm-hmm. He's locked in as a one.
There's no way you put that guy on the sideline.
You know that supposedly he jumped his teammates ones, like guys like Braden Smith and Trent Brown were in the huddle. They screwed something up in a protection, and he jumped everyone's butt in the huddle as a center, as a rookie.
Good.
That's like Quentin Nelson type stuff.
Yep. Good for him.
So I think he's wired the way they're extraordinarily happy with their selection. Very happy with their selection. So I would expect him to start. You know, you got to make him earn it and all that stuff. But my guess is by about next week, if not the week after, you'll see him going exclusively ones.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's, again, first round pick. Just the ass kicker and the mentality, the swarm that he's got. He's gonna be standing on the sideline? Hells no.
No.
No way. I mean, I never believed that. I don't care.
Yeah,
What team he's running with?
No.
In March.
You know, make him earn it. That's the mantra on the team. Every position's a competition. That's cool. I get it. But, I mean, there was no doubt that the Texans weren't good enough at center, or they wouldn't have drafted a guy who played guard who could move over to center. They wouldn't have drafted him in the first round they didn't think so.
I'm watching a lot of people reporting from there, and Lewis Bond's name's coming up a lot. Marlon Klein's name is coming up a lot. I saw a catch he made that was really nice. The slow down on baby Gronk. Okay, let's slow down. Or German
that's
Gronk.
A little...
Hair Gronk. Okay, let's slow down.
Yeah, let's watch that.
Let's relax a little bit. But a lot of good stuff there from those two guys. I guess Henry Toa made a play yesterday. He picked off Davis Mills and made a really, really nice play of the day. So we'll hear from Henry as well about, you know, that play that he made, Henry Toa let Baker escape in that Tampa game, and that was the biggest play of the game, and he addresses that, and another play in the Raiders game that he made, he screwed up. So he addresses those two. Really, really neat stuff. Accountability. Really.
You say neat? It's neat stuff?
Neat stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's neat that he's accountable. And you know what? That's kind of a big deal, you know, taking accountability. And he did, and we'll hear from him about it. Right now, though, we're talking about your fantasy draft. It's coming up. Are you collecting all your cheat sheets and everything else that you – I am. I'm collecting all the cheat sheets. I'm seeing who everybody's got where. But we are going to do ours. As a matter of fact, we're going to give away two spots today in our fantasy league, so keep on listening here. We're going to do it. We're going to do it at the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's going to be up on the big television. We do the draft. And everybody, you know, it's a good time had by all.
Great time.
But you can do yours, your fantasy draft, at the DraftKings Sportsbook just like we do. They have draft packages available. They display it on the big screen. Everybody has a great time. You're right there in the DraftKings Sportsbook. You do it on the – I mean, it's awesome. Awesome, awesome. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. I really love the Golden Nugget for everything. And it's hot out there, so you can be in the pool, the swim-up bar, the cabanas that they got there. Bring the wives, bring the kids. Everybody has a great time. You can play golf while you're there. The restaurants, everything about it. Love, love, love Golden Nugget. And it's a great place to do your fantasy draft. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Tank Dell was out there yesterday at practice. He put the pads on for the first time, was out there and limited. And D'Amico said, we're going to take him along slowly. We're going to just relax, everybody. Take it easy. Take it easy. So let's not get crazy about what we're doing here with Tank. He's going to be around, but it is going to take a little while for him to get back to full speed and full contact. I was looking. Phil Steele came out. His stuff is out, and Phil is just, I'm telling you, there's nobody more tuned in to college football. We were talking yesterday about Indiana and their starters and how many they lost. They're tied for 10th right now, according to Phil Steele. He considers guys who are starters on another team that transfer, he considers them offense and puts them in their totals of starters returning.
Mm-hmm.
You got your own offensive returners. Notre Dame leads the way. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, and Virginia all have 33 points. Notre Dame's got 14 returning starters on offense, 19 on defense, so for 33.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech, Virginia. It's kind of a big deal when you've got experience, right? Houston is up there tied for fourth.
Well, experience is... But experience can be with a different university,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, right.
That's still
exactly
counts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That when you got guys who've been on the field, had started for other schools, or yours, that's still experience.
Oh, and yeah.
Houston is tied for fourth. So,
wow.
Yeah. They've got 10 total on offense, five returning offensive starters that were Cougs, 9 total on defense, 6 that were Cougs. And so that's they've got a total of 30, 15 and 15, 30. So they're tied for fourth with USC, Oregon, Maryland, Houston, Oklahoma, and then eighth is Oklahoma. Texas and Texas A&M both tied for 10th.
Mm-hmm.
As far as returning starters go. Indiana's up there. Indiana actually has, with all the people that they have coming back, or they're coming back in the portal, Indiana is one of the top teams as well. They're tied for 10th. So while they lose a lot of their own guys, they bring in a lot of starters from other teams. And who wouldn't want to go to where you got a chance to win a night in Natty, right? So, So and you look at this and you go, this is interesting. Experience is kind of Southern Mississippi, one guy has one returning starter offensively.
Mm-hmm.
They have two total. So these are the teams that could very well struggle. You know, when you go look at the bottom, get Phil Steele's list. The teams that have no return, no experience coming back, Rice near the bottom. They're 155th. That's not that's going to be.
Is he ranking the talent also? Like, is it a
no? It's just returners.
It is
just experience. This list is just experience, not how good they are.
Because I mean. It feels like, that might be a ranking, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, Notre Dame 1, Virginia Tech 2, Virginia 3, USC, Oregon, Maryland, Houston, Oklahoma, Stanford, Ohio State, Indiana, Nebraska, Texas, Texas A&M, Tech.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the top 15
okay.
as far as experience goes. But that does play into your ranking as well. Is what kind of guys you got coming back? How many guys you got coming back?
Right.
Right? As opposed to got to play rookies. You don't have to play rookies anymore in college football, though. Right?
Well, mean, you don't have to, but if they're good, they're going to.
Like
especially
Indiana.
A quarterback.
Indiana ain't doing that. We ain't about that. We ain't about no rookies playing.
No.
We're about bringing.
Well, no, they're bringing. Yeah, they're not. Yeah. This isn't about recruiting for them.
Yeah, it's about recruiting on other teams.
Yeah, recruiting your rosters.
And the other team's roster.
Uh-huh. That's what I mean, yeah. Your meaning.
Your roster.
Status.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're exactly. going to recruit your rosters. They're not recruit. They got their portal guy. I was looking at their portals. They got somebody from Penn State. They got somebody from Notre Dame. They went and got running back from, oh, man, where's Turbo from? He's from Boston College. He stole one of Billy's guys. So Turbo Richard is his name, a running back. They got a running back named Turbo. So that's pretty good.
I mean, that's better than Turtle.
Yeah, it's better than.
I don't want a running back whose nickname is Turtle.
No, you don't want a running back named Turtle.
Mm-mm.
Turtle.
Yeah.
Now, it would be funny if the guy's really fast and they called him Turtle. Then mm-hmm. it's, you know, okay, it's like Jumbo or Tiny. And it's the
right,
opposite is true.
Right, right.
Yeah, if he was named.
If he was really, really fast.
If his nickname was Turtle and it's just so ludicrous because mm-hmm. he's so fast, okay, that might be funny. But in general, you don't want like a 5'10". You know, 205-pound running back being named Turtle, and he's a grinder between the tackles. That's not like right. God. That's you're gonna have to come up with a different nickname, brother. This mm-hmm. is not a cool nickname.
Mm-hmm. Did you see like 24 Iowa State players went to Penn State? 24.
Yeah, they followed their coach.
Yeah,
I'd seen that. Oh, Iowa State. Adele might know the number. Iowa State had something like 65 spots they had to fill this year. It was the highest number ever.
And what about Oklahoma State, too?
Yeah, Oklahoma State had a massive, massive number as well.
Yeah. But I think they might follow him. He's, yeah. Well, Gundy had every year had to fill.
By the way,
60
I got a
guys.
Bit of good news for Dell.
What?
That I have not mentioned. It looks like
Miami
we're going
didn't
to...
have any players arrested this week?
No, no. Uh-huh. They're not really that team. This isn't Georgia with a car. No, it looks like we may not be able to get Josh Pate this year. So we may not have Josh Pate anymore.
What?
He's getting too big.
Josh is not going to come on this year?
I don't think so.
Man, you can't close a deal.
He's with ESPN. Well, John Daspit was willing to my pitch to him was, "Hey, instead of just paying you, let's put together like a scholarship. A Josh Pate, a Pate State scholarship where John Daspit will fund the scholarship, you know, each year give one out for like $3,600, something like that. And so that offer's on the table to Josh, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to because he's now doing a show with Bussin' with the Boys every week. So that means he's an officially, more than likely, an ESPN employee under contract. And if that's the case, then there's going to be some exclusivity probably that comes into play. So
we're an ESPN station.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, I know it's not the same, but they got to approve everything. It's yeah, and I don't know that they approve of this show after you and your Jeff Passan stuff,
or if they've ever heard you do a segment.
Well,
we can't
no.
tie Josh's name with this guy. This
I'm not the problem. I'm not the problem here. You not being able to close.
This guy's a radio terrorist.
So you? Oh, here's our offer. Here, Josh, you come work for us every week and do it, and then we'll give a scholarship to somebody.
Well, he could have had the money,
what kind
too.
Of frick? Who wants that?
Because
give him the
you,
money.
Josh Pate makes so much money. Do you think he – do you
yes,
think our
he
little,
wants more.
Yeah, our little money – oh, well, there's his offer. Come get $200 a week for doing for doing 15 minutes. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, well –
yeah,
I don't think it matters. So I thought I'd play to the philanthropist. Like, can you imagine you would have your own ability to give out scholarships? Wouldn't that be great? I don't think it's going
to
matter because I think
ESPN
is going
to
be like, nope.
It's not
nope.
15 minutes because of your love and John's love.
Well,
it's
you
more
have
like
to say that.
It's more like 25.
That's like our
minutes.
Last segment is 25 minutes of the show, and
it's,
we end up going until
it's
10
more
or 7.
Like 25 minutes that he spent. So maybe
get the most out of our
doing
money.
The math and saying. I'm spending a lot more time here than I am in other places, so maybe you got to up the offer. And then he has to deal with YouTube being sycophants, and that's probably annoys him too. So there's a lot that goes into Josh's appearances here. I don't think you really gauge properly how much it would cost. He's got to wipe your slobber off of him after he's done with this.
See,
this
I knew Dell would love the death of Josh Pate's appearances on the show.
It's two guys' slobber, not just yours. So it's double duty when he's wiping that stuff off of him.
Yeah.
Double duty. You're the worst.
Stop already.
You are legitimately one of the worst.
We can't get to him. If we were close to him, we would, but we can't get to him.
Is it $3,600 for the napkins he has to use to get all your
stuff
off of him?
Come on, cut the crap, Dell. Cut the crap.
Dell, stop already.
I got to go see Dell's movie today, Jason and the Argonauts.
I didn't make the movie. That's Christopher Nolan's movie.
Oh, okay. My wife finally finished reading the book, so I got to go see the movie now.
You get to go see it?
Yeah, I finally get. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't? You always make time for movie. Hey, you haven't found a movie theater out there that's $36 a pop?
We have a movie theater here. I don't. We could go. It's a little ways away. I'm not in LA. I'll wait till I get it at home.
Well, you're not really LA, but wow. So you're that far away from a movie. Well, yeah, I'm not going to try to drive.
I don't know any movie theaters. I don't know.
You can't get a screener from Wendy?
No, I don't think I can get it.
They
screen.
Do say that you got to go watch it in a good theater. I think I'm going to go. God, movie ticket prices for this thing are
insane.
Somebody
said, though, they went to, it was more expensive and they went to a big theater, but it wasn't any better. It wasn't.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't.
I hear it's
like,
loud.
It wasn't, you didn't wear the glasses and
supposed
the
to wear
seats
glasses
didn't
for
move.
This
it was just
are you
on
supposed
a bigger
to take
screen.
On a, are you supposed to yield a sword? Wield a sword in this, I mean?
Yeah. You're supposed to be in the
glasses,
movie.
You're moving, then you have to be on a horse. Like, where are you supposed to watch this movie?
Right. Yeah, that's why I want to watch it. If I was going to do that, then yeah. But I'm not just
we'll see where it goes, but I've already seen the prices to go to one of the 4D or the 4K.
Yeah, right. That's what you.
Max,
that's where you
whatever.
Should go. What are they charging?
Like, something like $26, $28 a ticket.
Put it out. Okay? Put it out. Stop already. You know, that's what it is. These people have to eat, okay? You think that Christopher Nolan is eating unless you're paying $30 for a movie? No. Okay?
Well,
I've got to eat.
They don't like me much because I don't really go to movies that much anymore.
I mean,
I used to be a go-all-the-time guy. Now COVID turned me into just a series guy where I'm like, what's streaming now?
Right. But speaking of which, yeah, we just finished Dragon yesterday.
Yeah.
The dragons
were scrapping now. There's a lot more dragons in House of Dragons than there was in Game of Thrones.
There was a lot
of thrones in Game of Thrones, but in House of Dragons, there's a lot of dragons.
Dragons. That's because it's not Game of Thrones. It's dragons.
It's whatever your show is, Making a Murderer. Remember that show from Netflix?
Yeah, they had murderers.
They had murderers in there. Yeah, Ted Lasso had lassos. People with lassos, vaqueros, are literally lassoing people with lassos in that show. The name...
Had Lassie in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
That's right.
Hey, when we come back, be ready for our trivia question to see who will be in our fantasy football league. We will do it in the next segment. We've got a trivia question for you, so be ready. Okay, you can't call yet. You got to wait. Dell's going to hang up all the phones, and then we will see who will be in our fantasy draft. But right now, we're talking about Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We're talking about, I just love Billy and what he does. You, Lance, too. I mean, he's had extensive work done. I had a problem at my house. I sprung a leak. The guys were there. Boom. Shut it down. Knew exactly what was going on. Shut it down. I mean, I told you about this. Another company. The other plumbing companies, I think, are really stupid. They had a bathtub problem that was leaking, and they were like, well, your wife splashes around too much in the bathtub. No. Aqueduct came out there and said, you have a slab problem here. Whoever put this bathtub in, did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do it. And he said the price was unbelievably great. But that's the kind of workmanship you get with Billy.
Yeah, and they don't mean cars when they say slabs, okay? They mean the slab of your house. They'll check underneath that slab to see if you have leaky, once you have corroded pipes, it's a wrap. Like, you got to get them fixed. And a lot of times you can actually replace them and preemptively and save yourself a lot of money. Billy Brown can do that as well. Repiping, leaks, major remodel stuff, moving gas lines, they do it all. Just give them a call today at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Or simply go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 973-780-3776 is the number when we ask the question. So this is for old school listeners. The first ever slap fest between Chance and his brother was at Hooters on Mangum and Tacoma.
Jason in Waco was going to get his head shaved.
Yep.
Because he got the brakes beaten off of him in the college football game.
I am the best.
If anybody can't beat, I will make a challenge. If anyone can't beat me in the college football game, I will shave my head at that. And he got beat like 70-2.
70-2.
Somebody let him have a safety just to make it somehow look worse. Because somehow it looked worse scoring two than being shut out. I mean, he got annihilated. And they went, and everyone's like, does anyone have clippers? Like, no. So somebody ran to the store and got clippers. Mm-hmm. And they were going to shave his head. He took off running. They were chasing him. He got in his car and peeled out and took off. But then he did get his head shaved at Slapfest 2.
Yeah, he did.
Which took place.
Okay, that's the question. Where was Slap Fest 2? 713-780-3776. That was huge. Mattress Mac was one of the judges. Ken Hoffman. But it was huge. We had, I don't know how many people we had in there. But where was it? Where was Slap Fest 2? Okay. Odell, you need to know the answer, right? You don't know the answer? I will send it to you. I will send it to you right now, Del. So that you are you answering the phone, or do you have an intern
here? I am. Just first one who knows gets it.
Yep, first one.
I'll who just knows. Say it to him right now in the talk back.
Okay. No. Watch. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. That's the answer to the question. And 713-780-3776. Where was Slapfest 2? 713-780.
I just texted it to you, Dale.
And if you answer correctly, you're going to be in our fantasy league.
Chance and
you get to bring a person.
Chance and Taylor McClain slapped each other there, too.
Yeah. Yep, that was back in the day. That you was our bring, fifth anniversary, which would have been 2002.
Uh-huh.
So you got to be an old school listener here.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be old school. And we want people
or
who,
the child or the son or daughter of an old school
right.
listener. Who's heard the stories that my daddy told me about the lore of Slapfest 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mattress Mac was there as a judge.
Mattress Mac was there as a judge.
And Mr.
He thought it was
Granato
great.
Started kicking chairs.
The place was packed and screaming, and it seemed like it was an auditorium kind of thing. There was
it was huge.
A court. It was like a giant basketball court with the two of them with spotlights on them in the middle, just
slapping. What in the world was in the middle of the floor? It's almost like there was a big dance floor or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought it was like a court.
I got to make sure I don't say that.
Because we had
place.
Stands. It was like crazy. It was cool.
I gave Dell.
And the two of them were yelling, telling the story of why they're getting slapped.
They told it
You made out with my wife in the backyard, and you made me show up and sign up for.
Chance had to sign up for the Army.
Yeah, for the Army.
Because Taylor said, we're doing it.
Taylor said, I'll meet you there, and never did.
He never did, and Chance was locked into an Army. And so Chance went to the Army.
Yeah, because of him.
Yeah. Dell, just tell me when we get the winner, and we'll let you know. They're on hold right now, but I texted the answer the fifth year anniversary party. We stopped at like three different bars and saw listeners at three different areas of Houston, and the last one was this last spot, And to say things were a little loose by then is an understatement. And we had all of our callers, all of our most notable callers, because we had some lunatics calling. Like, imagine Gary. Gary would have been a guy like on the bus. Like, we invited Kali, but he didn't want to go. We had Yami.
No, Cowboy Bill.
Cowboy Bill, Yami. We had Brad and Spring Branch, Mike
Cowboy
and Derry
Steve.
Ashford, Cowboy Steve. Yeah, yeah. All these callers. The callers were all their own. We gave them the nicknames, but they all had their own personalities, and they were a little wild. The blatantly racist Collie would make people so mad, but then other times he is just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
When I say blatantly racist, like
he
was.
One? So we're going to go to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. We're going to have our fantasy draft there. It's going to be August 27th. You're going to get dinner there. You're going to get a $200 voucher there for
Wait, that's not
food
what this is for, though.
Huh?
That's not what the
Yeah, that's what this
trivia
is for.
I thought it was for the listener appreciation party.
No, this is for being in our fantasy league.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, this is going to be in our fantasy league. Okay. We need some old school people.
Yeah, but are those people even going to play fantasy football? Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll see. Pete is our winner.
Okay.
It did take about 7 people. Most people said Nick's Place or Klein's.
Those are good guesses.
But it was not. It was Coach's Sports Bar.
That's yep,
the answer.
Sports Bar.
So, Pete, welcome. You're part of the Fantasy Football League.
Yep.
Yep.
$290. We stopped at Fum Ducks was the first spot, no longer open. Then we went to BW3's in the Village, now called Buffalo Wild Wings, and it's been redone.
Steve Chapelier's place.
Yeah, and that's right. I forgot about that. And then we went to Coach's Sports Bar was the third spot. I felt like there was another one in there, but maybe not.
Yeah, we had a bus that we went and we just started. We were bar hopping, and then we ended up at Coach's and we had a big time. It was packed. It was unbelievable. It was great. 2002.
Your boy Kenny Smith got married.
Pete knew where it was.
Yeah, Pete. Your boy Kenny Smith got married again. I guess this is his fourth marriage, maybe third or fourth. He married a Croatian influencer.
Yeah,
that kind of looks like a little bit like Kim Kardashian in the face. The comments aren't friendly.
Do you want to talk about what question you asked me?
Nah. I'll just keep that between us, friend.
Okay. All right.
Let's keep that between us. We do have this. His
you
knees.
See, and I'm the problem.
I'm the problem.
Off the air. Well, the difference is.
I keep mine off the air.
You.
What's the question?
I had a legitimate question.
You would have asked a question on the air or just brought the topic up.
I had a legitimate question.
Without his permission. That's why I asked. Did he want to talk about it? He said no, so we won't talk about it.
You know what? This show's different. We could bring that up.
Do you want to bring it up?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I asked for a ruling on this. I said, Dell, I need you to come in here and get a ruling. I showed him a picture. I said,
well, let me be the judge.
Well,
I don't know the courtroom.
It's not about attractiveness. He asked me a question specifically because
I said, do you consider her a snow bunny?
That was his question.
And Dell had to think it. Dell wasn't sure.
I was looking at the woman. Now, as Lance says, she appears to have a bit of a Kardashian.
She's Croatian,
as far as her makeup scheme and what she wants to look like. So,
it was just two guys talking at a barbershop. We're kind of at a barbershop, but it's just known as a sports
now it's on
radio.
The air for anyone to listen.
Right? Sure.
Why snow bunny? What? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's why you asked me, not you, because you don't get it. Two Americas, so you could not be the judge.
Okay.
Two Americas.
To Americas. I knew what you meant. He doesn't.
I knew you would know. I needed to get a ruling from you.
I don't think she qualifies.
I don't think so either.
No. Well, congratulations to the happy couple, by the way.
Yeah, Kenny. Nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, the comments are nice.
Very attractive young
How
lady.
Long till she takes half his stuff? His knees more stable than his marriage finna be? At 61, marrying an influencer for the third time is wild. These NBA guys really be living in a different universe. No cap. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. That's another one. after 3 failed marriages, he jumped into another one instead of working on himself. it's not great.
It's not his fault.
The comments aren't, congratulations,
Kenny.
Maybe
he married 3 bias. You don't know.
Well, some of them are the mother of his children, so perhaps he doesn't want them, at least some of them classified as that word. Maybe. Some of them. Birth
maybe,
him.
But he's also divorced from him.
Here's one from a guy named Leo. He said, congrats to Kenny. Wishing the newlyweds nothing but happiness and a long, successful marriage. That's the one nice comment in there.
Mm-hmm.
I offered
Come
a nice
on
comment.
Now, Kenny. That's all it says.
Kenny.
Come on, Kenny. Yes, congratulations.
61 third marriage, Croatian influencer. These NBA legends really be playing life on a different difficulty setting. That's actually pretty funny.
I don't know what Croatian women smell like, so I don't know.
What?
She looks like she smells pretty good.
You think they smell different from other women?
I don't know. You don't know.
I'm asking you.
As long as it's not of lavender. I hate lavender.
What about cherry blossom?
Yeah, she's fine.
She's got like a whole, like five lambs in her wedding dress.
You saw the picture?
Sheep, yeah, five sheep.
You have no problem with her, I already know.
No, I have no problem with her. I mean, good for Kenny. Good on him. If he can get influencers at 61 years of age, good on him.
Yeah.
It's going to cost him.
Yeah. No, it's always going to cost.
It's always going to cost. But that, not like, I mean.
Who did we talk about yesterday? Oh, it was Luca's now ex, who I didn't know what she actually did for. She was a digital creator, right? Mm-hmm. So Tia, which is her first name, now Tia Smith, is a mother and a influencer. Do we know what she influences? Because I see a lot of pictures.
She influences people.
I see a lot of pictures with her and her, I guess her son, a lot of pictures with her and Kenny.
Yeah, this influencer thing. We went through this yesterday. We went through this yesterday.
What brands does she represent?
Don't see her with the brand. Just because you wear a bikini doesn't make you an influencer.
Well, kind of.
I don't know.
No, influence is like people. You get people to go buy stuff because that's what an influencer actually means, John.
At you.
No, you buy a product. That's what an influencer means. It doesn't mean guys ogle you and do stuff in a bathroom. That's not influencing. That means you're just being objectified intentionally, by the way. Maybe you can't believe I said that, but I mean, I'm just saying what America was thinking. Who's listening?
I don't know.
Two Americas, Del.
I don't know what Gus and Indy or anyone else is thinking at the moment, but I look at it as...
Gus and Indy. I forgot his 10-year-old's going to school.
They're always in the car.
No, I think he's gone to school.
Hopefully.
That's Eastern. Yeah,
because that was very early in the show, in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm just looking at a lot of pictures that I've become accustomed to when I see women who describe themselves as influencers. I just don't see a lot of brands that she's alleged to be.
That's what influencers do. They make a ton of money off of these brands.
Am I a Coors Light influencer?
Yes, you are.
You are.
You do social stuff. You do digital stuff. I'm not.
Nobody calls me influencer.
Do you want to be called that? Is that something you're looking for?
Do you want to be called an influencer?
Put that in your bio on Twitter.
Well, he lives in L.A.
Coors Light influencer.
Actually, that is... You actually should put that in your bio.
From what I can see, you're more of an influencer than she is.
Oh, no. 100%. He also is a plumbing influencer.
You're also an HRP influencer.
He's an HR influencer.
Yeah. You're a sinus influencer.
I'm a sinus influencer. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Right. Speaking of HRP,
right now you're an HRP influencer.
I am right now.
Yes,
you're damn right. I am. I'm trying to influence you to make your business better. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I do because I'm trying to influence you to stop doing your payroll stupidly by yourself. You doing it. I mean, what a waste. What a waste of your time and effort. You do not want to be doing this yourself. Okay, You have no idea what you're doing with payroll. You have no idea. HRMP has proprietary technology that's the best in the business. HRMP takes care of all of your issues. Payroll, HR, tax time. They take care of your 401ks, your insurance, all of that stuff. They take care of all that stuff. Now, there's a difference, though, between HRMP and these admin companies because HRMP doesn't sell the 401ks. So they want to get the best 401k and insurance plan for your business, not the one that they sell. That's where the admin companies get you. While they're telling you, oh, look at the difference in price. We're saving you money over here on payroll. Look over here. When over here, they're killing you on your 401k. They're killing you on your insurance package. That's what they do. So do this better. Do it great with our peeps. We are big fans. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers.
It's pretty dope.
The absolute best choice.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.